Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. Details and a link to video footage of Byron Saxton passing something to Roman Reigns right before Roman Reigns bled heavily during the closing angle on Raw. We also have an in-person perspective on the live crowd's reactions to various things and the building at last night's Raw. You will also be able to read Will Pruitt's pause review on Raw, which includes his thoughts on the big Shane McMahon angle. And tonight, I will have live coverage of TNA Impact Wrestling, and most likely simultaneously, assuming everything, the cell signal is good in the building, we should have live updates from the WWE SmackDown taping in Indianapolis. I also want to remind you that coming up on Friday, Ring of Honor's pay-per-view is taking place. I will be covering that show live as it airs, a television pay-per-view from Las Vegas, their 14th anniversary show, and it's a pretty loaded show. I'm looking forward to it, so join me for live coverage of that. With that said, let's get into the WWE Raw hit list that you can read at ProWrestling.net. We'll start with the hits. Shane McMahon's return. The shocking return of Shane McMahon drew an insane crowd reaction. The Detroit fans treated Shane like he scored a Game 7 winning goal for the Red Wings. The reaction to Shane will rival any crowd pop we hear in 2016. The angle between Shane, Vince McMahon, and Stephanie McMahon was filled with storyline holes and major logic gaps. And maybe you were among the fans so caught up in the moment that you didn't even notice the massive flaws. Let's start with Shane implying that he has total control to force his demands, only to then agree to work a match to get his way. And then there's Vince McMahon, putting control of the company in the hands of a babyface Undertaker who has opposed Vince way more often than not over the years. And then there's Shane's nonchalant reaction to the news that he will be facing Undertaker in the most feared match of all in WWE. I could go on, but you get the picture. None of it mattered to the masses on this night, as the vast majority of fans simply ate the crap storyline that the McMahon family served them because they were so happy to see Shane again. Some fans are even excited by the thought of Shane wrestling Undertaker. Let's stop and be real about this. Middle-aged father of three, Shane would be a better fit on my beer league softball team than he is in a Hell in a Cell match against Undertaker. Sure, he can probably execute a Van Terminator and put his body through all sorts of Taker-inflicted hell, but he really has no business being in this match. And while I must confess, and I'm among those who have a perverse desire to see this spectacle match, my guess is that Shane won't actually work it. I have no idea how they get there, but I believe John Cena becomes the stand-in for Shane, and we end up getting Taker versus Cena after all. Either way, this was a shocking and newsworthy way to kick off the road to WrestleMania. Next hit, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. This was an important promo in that Heyman's goal was to establish that Lesnar isn't in the main event, yet whatever he does is still main event worthy. Heyman succeeded by making Lesnar against Dean Ambrose feel like one of the biggest matches at WrestleMania. I liked the pre-show angle, but it was strange to see Dean Ambrose selling a violent yet brief assault by Lesnar to the extent that he did. We've seen Ambrose crash and burn from ladders, fall through tables, and do all sorts of insane stunts, yet a quick beating from Lesnar left him nearly as battered as Leonardo DiCaprio following his battle with a bear in The Revenant. I won't lie, if Lesnar faced the bear and the odds were even, I'd put $20 on Brock. We've seen the way Ambrose bounces back from Lesnar beatings lately, so watching him crawl around like this did feel a bit schlocky. Despite all of this, I love the way Lesnar walked over Dean's face, and I'm looking forward to their match at WrestleMania. The next hit is Triple H attacking Roman Reigns. I'm a bit torn on this because I really believe they still want to get Reigns over as the top babyface in the company, but that clearly wasn't happening. The fans cheered for Triple H. They chanted yes after Hunter performed a pedigree on the Bloody Reigns, thanks Byron, on the ring steps. Hell, they wanted him to do it again. And it's not like Hunter did anything to discourage those cheers. It started with his leather jacket, jeans, and t-shirt look. When most guys his age bust out the rocker attire, it's because they hung up their dad clothes for the one night of the year when they get to hang out with their high school buddies and see a heavy metal concert. You know, kind of like I will do when Guns N' Roses comes to town. When Triple H changes into that attire, it's a sign that he's ready to kick some ass. And when heel Triple H delivers a crotch chop after beating down the unpopular babyface, it means, well, I don't even know what it means. Nor do I know what it means when Hunter stands on the ring steps and soaks up cheers from the crowd. Shouldn't Hunter be working for heat if he's the heel? Maybe something's changed. Maybe they've reached a point of acceptance when it comes to Roman, or even just a reaction that the WrestleMania crowd will give him. Then again, Hunter did the same thing at the Royal Rumble. I don't know what any of it means, but I know that it made for a stronger finish to Raw than watching Roman dish out spears and Superman punches to the League of Nations members. By the way, Hunter's entrance music is apparently so powerful that it prevented the referee from counting from 9 to 10, which would have given Reigns the win over Sheamus. That's the power of Lemmy. Next hit, AJ Styles and Chris Jericho against Heath Slater and Curtis Axel. This was solid use of the lousy social outcast act. Styles and Jericho got a win and appear to be buddies coming out of their three-match feud. I don't think they will be challenging New Day for the tag titles at WrestleMania, but I could be wrong. My guess is that somehow this leads to another match between them. How about a match at March to WrestleMania with the winner getting the Intercontinental title shot at WrestleMania? Next hit is Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch. A solid segment with Charlotte playing mind games and trying to drive a wedge between Sasha and Becky. I really wish they would do more to establish Sasha's character. I'm still not sure whether we're supposed to like or dislike her. I hope that becomes clear before WrestleMania, as I assume she will be in the title match, whether it's a singles match or they book a schmoz in the contenders match to set up a triple threat. On to the Raw misses, and we will start with New Day against the Lucha Dragons and Neville. This wasn't just a time filler. It was a chance for WWE to catch up on commercial breaks they fell behind on due to the 30-minute opening segment. I take no issue with that approach. Rather, it was the lack of follow-up from WWE Fastlane. The last time we saw New Day, they were shaking their asses with Edge and Christian, and it appeared they might be turning babyface. Meanwhile, we saw Kalisto win a best-of-three falls match to retain the U.S. title, and now he's back to being featured as part of Lucha Dragons in a throwaway six-man tag match. Doesn't he have anything to say about his win? And don't even get me started on how wasted Neville is. The next miss is the Uso brothers against the Ascension. The Uso brothers' big return after taking a week off to sell the beating the Dudleys gave them consisted of their usual war cry and big cheesy grins as they headed to the ring. What the hell are these two so happy about? Does anything bother them enough to stray from their usual entrance? I don't blame Jimmy or Jay simply because they're carrying out their marching orders, but I really wish someone in creative would get behind the idea of establishing their personalities. I did like Devon abandoning the tired testify line in favor of taking a jab at Rikishi. Final miss, the Wyatt family against Ryback, Big Show, and Kane. Let me get this straight. Ryback won the match for his team at Fastlane and then worked the majority of this match before suddenly deciding that he's too good for tag team wrestling. What a clunky turn. The fans enjoy chanting Feed Me More and playing along with Ryback regardless of what WWE does with him as a babyface. He's a dependable mid-card act. Remember how lost his character was the last time they turned him heel? Remember Rybaxel? Meanwhile, I assume this match was designed to give the Wyatt family their heat back after losing the night before. They gained nothing from this because the finish was all about Ryback walking out on his partners. Why not just have the Wyatt family win both matches if Ryback was turning heel? That is it for the hit list. We will get to my bonus thoughts on Raw here in just a second, but I do want to tell you the .NET members are listening to a 53-minute Q&A audio show that I recorded yesterday. Probably about half of them pro wrestling questions, the other half some good old-fashioned non-wrestling fun. We split the two up. The members submit their questions in the forum, and then I answer them on Mondays. And then they're also listening to a 45-minute audio review of Raw, getting my full thoughts coming out of last night's show, and the 68-minute WWE Fastlane audio review that Jake Barnett and I recorded on Sunday night. The members will be listening to my TNA Impact Wrestling review tomorrow, Zach Zimmerman's NXT review on Thursday, Darren Gutteridge's Ring of Honor review on Thursday as well, and also my Ring of Honor pay-per-view review coming up a little bit later in the week, plus the .NET Weekly audio show, and you never know what other audio content is going to pop up on the member side. We definitely keep the members loaded with audio content. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, very simple, visit the main page. Once you're there, you will see the sign-up area on the right side of your screen. You will find three different pricing options. The rates start at $7.50 for 1 month of membership, and a great time to take advantage of that with WrestleMania approaching. But you can also save yourself a little bit of money if you go up to 6 months, and you can even whittle that price all the way down to an average of $5.50 a month if you take our annual option. Again, all the details available right there at ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions on any of this, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. All right, let's get into some bonus thoughts on last night's Raw. When Shane McMahon appeared, I really thought they were going to attach him to Roman Reigns in the WrestleMania main event. It made storyline sense because the character, you know, the Shane character's issues are with Vince and Stephanie and Triple H. And really, that's the same issues that Roman Reigns has, the same people that he has issues with. I think Roman could certainly use someone in his corner, someone popular. I without it feeling as forced as The Rock would, like, I really fear the WrestleMania crowd rejects that, just as the Royal Rumble crowd once did when The Rock came out to try to endorse Reigns after he won the Rumble, and the crowd was having none of it. But Shane may have been a different story, and I also like the idea of him fighting to rid WWE of Vince McMahon and the Authority. I think it would have been the best chance to get the Mania crowd behind Roman Reigns, is to have Shane attached to him. And I even wonder if that's a direction they would have taken if they weren't so desperate for star power due to all the injuries that WWE is coping with right now. I also wonder if this is somehow a way to get Undertaker facing John Cena, with the two being just kind of morally opposed. You know, Taker not quite a full-fledged heel necessarily. I want to see how they play it with Taker. Is he a heel? I mean, is he just an all-out heel for some reason? Is he just siding with Vince McMahon? He certainly had heelish characteristics when he was facing Brock Lesnar at times with the low blows and things like that. Or maybe he's just a conflicted long-time Vince McMahon employee who sides with him because of everything that Vince has done for him over the years. And, you know, hey, that doesn't exactly mesh with his dead man persona, but you never know how they're going to play this. Either way, my guess as to how this all plays out, regardless of who wins the Shane and Taker match, I think Taker ends up giving Vince McMahon a tombstone pile driver afterward. And then that leads me to wondering whether WrestleMania is going to mark the end of the heel authority figures in WWE, at least temporarily. I mean, you know, they could end up splitting the brands. I'm not a big fan of that approach for a variety of reasons. Maybe we'll talk about that another day. But, you know, maybe this is at least a swan song for now for Vince, Stephanie, and Hunter as power brokers. And if so, I'm all for that. You know, we've talked countless times about how tired the heel authority figure act is in pro wrestling overall. We've seen it in WWE now for countless years. I'm really hoping WWE has finally reached this conclusion that it's time for a change. I kind of fear that the Monday after WrestleMania is going to have Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon still in power, boasting, threatening to make Roman Reigns' life miserable now that he's the new champion. They need to move on. You know, we've seen this. It's been done. It's been run into the ground. They're basically doing with Reigns what they did with Daniel Bryan. I think everyone is ready for a change, and I'm hoping that the night after WrestleMania truly is a new beginning. I mentioned earlier that I will have live coverage of TNA Impact Wrestling tonight, and it should be an interesting show. I was not a big fan of last week's show. I just felt it was a little too much hardcore with the Monsters Ball match and then the big brawl that wouldn't end backstage between tag teams. And then you had the Grado comedy, which seemed like it worked for people more than it did me. I just wasn't a big fan of it. I didn't think it was TNA's finest show. I thought it was probably their worst show since they've gone to Pop. But in general, as I keep saying, it's been a good show. Wasn't a big fan of the premiere on Pop or last week's, but everything in between was very good. Tonight's lockdown edition kind of feels like they're rushing into it, but we'll see what they do. They're going to go with EC3 challenging Matt Hardy inside the cage. We're also getting the first ever lethal lockdown match between Knockouts, which I can't say does a whole lot for me. And we're getting Beer Money facing the team of Eric Young and Bram inside a cage. So it's the all-cage match show. Impact, again, it's been good. And so join me for live coverage of that as it airs on Pop TV, 8 Central, 9 Eastern. And again, I'll have those live spoilers coming in at the same time as TNA Impact is on, which makes for a fun night for me, let me tell you. But always good to get those live updates from SmackDown. And it should be an interesting show. The only thing they've advertised so far is Triple H addressing Roman Reigns. So I guess we'll get a better feel for whether Hunter intends to play this as a heel. He's doing crotch chops, and I don't know. It just didn't seem like he was going for heel heat last night. And so I think we'll get a better feel for that. That's the only thing they've advertised, though, which kind of leads me to believe, yeah, they haven't put much thought into SmackDown as of Monday. They just know that they're going to have Triple H cutting a promo, so let's advertise that. It's certainly not one of those weeks where they're giving you 2-3 match announcements in advance. I don't know what... It really hasn't made a difference in the ratings, unfortunately. I like to see WWE rewarded when they take the time to advertise a Jericho Styles match or a Brock Lesnar appearance for the first time in nearly 12 years, I think they were saying. I want to see them rewarded for that, and they weren't. And so, does it matter? I mean, I think you stick with that approach, and you still, you know, you can't just base it off of a couple of weeks of trying. I think you continue to advertise things in advance, and they did. It's just not the most compelling. I guess it's the Mania main event, even if it doesn't feel like it's should be the Mania main event. You're getting Triple H addressing Reigns. So that is going to do it for now. Please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. That is always appreciated, as is a simple retweet when I post the link to this audio show on my Twitter page at Pro Wrestling Net. Even a simple retweet is greatly appreciated because you are helping us spread the word about this podcast. Coming up the next couple of days, you will be hearing the return of Will Pruitt. He is back, and that means he is teaming with Jake Barnett for the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. The guys are going to be discussing New Japan Pro Wrestling on one show, and I know there's definitely going to be some Shane McMahon talk on the other. Not sure of the order yet, but keep an eye out for that on Wednesday and Thursday. And then I will be back on Friday afternoon getting you ready for the Ring of Honor show and whatever else is going on this weekend that I haven't even looked far enough ahead to see what it is. I know NXT has some Florida dates. I think it's kind of a quiet weekend for WWE with some standard house shows and things, but all sorted out, plenty of time before then. And hey, I nearly forgot. Join me today at 4 Central, 5 Eastern. I will be co-hosting the PW Torch Livecast with Wade Keller over at pwtorchlivecast.com. Your phone calls are welcome. 4 Central, 5 Eastern is the time. We take your phone calls for at least an hour. And then he and I will record a special VIP bonus show that will be available to our respective members. But that is going to do it. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you again on Friday. Until then, take care.